You are listening to the longest-running weekly episodic Filipino wrestling podcast. This is the Smart Gilas Pilipinas podcast. Stan C at your service. Joining me tonight, Raf Camus and Ro Moran, and our special guest for this episode, Mr. Ryan Songalia from Rappler.com and Ring Magazine.
Two-time guest.
Yeah, that's right. He's a two-time guest. And, you know, Ryan just brought up a very interesting point because it is episode number 57. It's also the number of wins Manny Pacquiao has had in his professional boxing career.
He is 57.
57, 5-2.
That's right.
38 knockouts.
So that's why we're calling this the Pac-Man episode of the SGP podcast.
Speaking of the fight, speaking of Pacquiao, let's talk about the fight real quick. I just heard today that some of the contracts have not been signed yet.
Yeah, the contract with the venue. Like, you know, of course there's always the initial contract, which basically just legally binds everyone to the fight. But there are a lot of other aspects as far as, like, the venue, who are the signatories, who are the co-promoters, the main promoter, liabilities, the ability to make decisions at the venue in terms of music. Like, this is the thing. With Manny Pacquiao's promoter, Bob Arum, not being named as signatory, on fight night, Pacquiao's expecting to come out to his own song. What is that called? The Laban for the People or something? I don't know.
Is it a new song?
Yeah, he has a new song.
Yeah.
But you know what? If Mayweather is the exclusive promoter, they can make him come out to, like, Soulja Boy Tell Him, you know, or he could come out to Justin Bieber's music.
He doesn't care, though. This is the same guy who came out to Roar in his last fight.
You know, he did it twice, actually. You know what? If you actually had him play Justin Bieber, that probably, you know, Manny likes some pretty corny music. He'd probably
does,
be
he
into
does.
That.
He does.
You know,
but that's straight up bustos if they make him come out to Justin Bieber.
I mean,
though.
You know what? I think the irony would be lost on Manny, so I don't think.
Yeah, he doesn't care.
I don't think he would mind.
Give a shit.
He probably listens. You know what? I remember his playlist in the gym.
Right.
And because you know he lists the whole thing, like, you know, it's like, remember like the old PlayStation where you, like, you know, the track one, track two.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, I was looking at it. It's like all HBO, like 24/7 music, and then, like, he had like some like corny like pop songs. I was like, wow, man, this is what Manny listens to get hyped. You know, like, I don't know, man. We're just different people about music, but I think that maybe Justin Bieber or Rihanna may actually be like a step up in intensity for him.
He doesn't give a shit. But what about you know, the contract with MGM Grand, for example, not being signed yet? No tickets printed. Yeah, what's up with that?
You know what? I've seen a lot of things in boxing. I've never seen that. Now, this is the issue, is that you're going to have these high roller people who are not used to being inconvenienced, and they're going to be having to wait in long lines, these millionaires.
Billionaires,
these,
even.
These 100,000-aire type peoples, even. You know, waiting in line for tickets. I think we're going to have a total mess on fight week. We're going to have a lot of people, a lot of high anxiety people, a lot of uncertainty. You have a lot of guys who booked flights and hotels when the thought of May 2nd being the fight date came out.
Right.
So these are people that were expecting a normal boxing type of atmosphere, and instead, you know, the fans are really the biggest losers on this. I mean, for me, I got my email that I'm going to be at the fight. I got a ticket. I don't know where I'm sitting. I hope that no one finds out while I'm here in Manila and then they jump me, steal my identity, maybe like do a face off, you know, turn and, you know, steal my face and everything.
Man,
that's a lot.
Yeah. So you're predicting that some shenanigans are going down logistics wise on the day of the fight.
The week of the fight is going to be crazy because, you know, the real drama of boxing, the real action is not the fight. The fight, you know what's going to happen. You know two guys are going to go out there and punch each other. The week of the fight, you have no idea what's going to happen. I've seen like a lot of crazy things happen. I've seen guys test positive for steroids the couple days before the fight.
Yeah.
And then the trainers trying to fight the other fighters' camps because of that on stage, you know, because they'll get offended, like, wow, you really try to cheat and, like, you know, and get an advantage and maybe hurt my guy, seriously. But the fight itself is not, it's over in 48 minutes, you know, it's, you know, from beginning to end.
There's
what's
going to happen.
An hour. Exactly, you know, unless it's going to be like something where someone parachutes into the ring or, you know, you get a riot, you know, but for the most part, boxing is very, very cut and dry. It's everything else that's leading up. So we're going to see some serious drama, I think.
All right, so can you give us a prediction? I mean, in all the years you've covered boxing, they've been billing this fight as the greatest fight this century or something.
Can you make a prediction now? I know you've been dealing with trolls online, you know, calling us Pactars and shit.
Oh, yeah. I'm like the number one, like, Pactard killer, you know. Because, you know, out here in the Philippines, I don't really confront many Flomos, you know?
Flomos.
Or Mayweather stands, as they're called by some people.
Right.
So, of course, anytime I see, like, ignorance, I'm going to be offended as a person, you know, who is a boxing lifer. You know what I mean? Like, you're disrespecting my sport because a lot of people only come to watch this one fight. They're all of a sudden now they're boxing experts.
It's true,
and I'm like, you know what? May 3rd, I'm still going to be a boxing fan, you know? But a lot of people there, May 2nd, that's the end of their boxing love. As far as predictions, I usually don't like to offer predictions because then I start looking only for that thing to happen.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, you try to rationalize if something goes wrong or whatever. You try to make, the evidence fit, you know, the case. But for me, I see a bunch of different scenarios where Pacquiao can win, and I see a bunch of scenarios where Mayweather can win. Like, if Pacquiao comes out there and switches things up a bit, if he fights the same fight he's been fighting lately, I think he's in trouble because we saw in the Marquez fight where he got knocked out, and we saw in the Algeria fight where he won, he dominated, but there was a vulnerability there. He was throwing double jabs, and everybody knew exactly what was going to happen. Every time he throws a double jab, he's not moving his head. You can drop that right hand before he throws that left. That's how he got knocked out against Marquez, and that's what Algeria was trying to do. He just didn't have the punching power to do it. Mayweather, that's probably, I think, what made Mayweather want this fight. He knew it was the time. He saw his opening, and I'm pretty sure he's been working on that specific move. Like, if Pacquiao goes out there, gives angles, doesn't come in straight, he uses his feet, gets off to the side, exploits a weakness.
Yep.
And then if he doubles up that left hand instead of just throwing one at a time, I think he can win. But if Mayweather's legs are good and he gets out in the middle of the ring and he's able to dance, he's able to make Pacquiao reach, which Pacquiao was doing a really bad thing in the Algeria fight. Even though he won, he was reaching too much. He was leaving himself open. A more experienced fighter would have taken Manny Pacquiao out that night.
All right, and I guess to wrap this little talk point on the Pacquiao fight up, what's the over-under on Manny running for Senate next year?
are we even talking Senate? We're not talking presidency?
No, not yet the presidency.
No, he's not yet. I think you have to be, what, 40 years old here? Or?
Yeah, 40. 40,
he's not 40 yet.
Yeah. Not yet, but yeah, he's no, absolutely. That's 100%. I'm not going to say what I know, but he's
running. Win, lose, or draw.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. You know, they'll find a way to spin it, you know, no matter what. But, you know, Manny Pacquiao, you have to give it to him. He is a national hero. And win, lose, or draw, it's not about what happens here. This is just the culmination of all the things that he accomplished before this. Manny Pacquiao is, doesn't matter what happens on this fight, he is going to be remembered as a great status figure in the Philippines. He brought identity to this country internationally. Like, before Manny Pacquiao, whenever I would tell people that I was Filipino, they would say, oh, yeah, like Imelda Marcos in her shoes, you know? But now it's like whenever I tell people, yeah, I'm Filipino, oh, Pacquiao! And then he's trying to throw these punches and whatever, you know? It could be worse, you know? But I absolutely think that Manny Pacquiao is going to, he's going to come out looking, smelling rosy no matter what.
You know what they could have said? Are you related to Apple the App? And that would have been so hard.
Oh, no, I would be, you know. No, I mean, no. I know what,
no,
this is my problem with Apple the App, right? You know?
Here we go. We're going there.
No, but listen to me. I like Apple the App as far as Black Eyed Peas. I don't think he's, you know, anything special as a solo artist. Like, for me, I was a Black Eyed Peas fan back when they were underground, back when they were, you know.
When they were still hip-hop.
When they were still really hip-hop.
That's true.
Apple the App was one of the best dancers. And all, like, you know, that was like, wow, you're bringing it back old school. This guy could spin and Rooney everything. He was like Booker T out there. But then it's like, all right, now he went solo. It's like he lost his edge, and now he's doing
Voice.
He's doing The Voice. And what is that other, the cakes? He's selling the cakes now, whatever.
Really?
What is that?
What is this, Goldilocks?
Goldilocks,
yeah. Goldilocks, yes.
And I subscribed. This is for me. I subscribe to the Bill Hicks theory that once you are an artist and then you go out there and start hawking like all these products, everything you say is suspect. You're off the artistic roll call forever. That's my beef with Apple Diab. And also, he wouldn't take a picture with me at the Pacquiao Rios fight.
Bro, but I got a picture with Apple Diab.
But you know what? I'll tell you what. I'll give him this. My friend was there. He took a picture of her. You know, it helped that she was like smoking hot, you know. I hope my wife ain't listening to this, you know. But yeah, no. But for me, you know, he kind of like, you know, he dicked me.
Sandy was obliged to have a photo with you.
Yeah,
sure.
He was like, yeah,
I guess.
This guy.
All like, right, last question, bonus question on Manny Pacquiao. If he wins, if he's the one behind, if he's the one in 47-1, who is the one behind the one in 47-1? Is it Mommy D? Is it Bob Arum? Or is it Freddie Roach?
Freddie Roach.
Well, you know, Freddie Roach is, you know, of course, like Ro was saying, this guy is, you know, a modern boxing genius. You know, let's not look past that. Freddie Roach, you know, studied, of course, under the great Eddie Futch. Eddie Futch, of course, was the guy who beat Muhammad Ali a bunch of times, actually. He was the trainer for Joe Frazier when he beat Ali. And then Ken Norton as well. You know, when Ken Norton really beat Muhammad Ali 3 out of 3 times, only got a decision one time. So Freddie Roach is absolutely a boxing genius. This is my issue, though, is that will Manny Pacquiao be able to internalize all of the different strategies that he'll have to for this fight? Because Manny, he's improved a lot over the years, but sometimes he hasn't followed Roach's instructions to a T.
Yeah.
Like, I was in training for the Algeria fight, and I was looking for different things. Because, you know, Freddie Roach doesn't let anyone go in the gym during sparring. You know, like, he cracked down on that. Before, back in the day, I could just be there at any time. And then they cracked down on that, but they were letting me watch the pad work when they're punching, doing punching mitts. And I, you know, me being a former boxer, I could watch that. All right, I know what he's going to do here. And when I saw his game plan, I said, this is genius. And then on fight night, he didn't do any of that, you know.
Oh, that sucks.
Manny just went out there and said, hey, I'm Manny Pacquiao. I'm going to kick your ass, you know. Which was enough to beat a guy like Algieri.
Because Algieri wasn't all that.
Yeah, you know, well, you know.
No. He's not on Manny's level.
He's not on Manny's level. That's true. And I think that he was, you know, underprepared, maybe experience-wise, to fight a guy like Manny Pacquiao.
Underprepared and overmatched.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that was a fight that Pacquiao was supposed to knock this guy out in one round to look good, to really hype that fight for Mayweather. But, you know, you could look at the scorecard and say, well, Manny dominated the fight. You know, he dropped the guy 6 times. But I saw a lot of issues with Pacquiao's performance there. I don't think that version of Manny Pacquiao can beat Mayweather if he fights that way.
All right. It's going to be a very packed show of the SUP podcast. It's actually going to be packed and tight. We just talked about the Pacquiao fight, which is happening on May 2. But right now, we're actually focusing our attention on Extreme Rules, which is happening this Sunday in the U.S., this Monday in Manila time. It's going to be a crazy card in the sense that there are matches that are getting enough hype heading into the pay-per-view, and then there are some matches which people are supposed to be excited about, but we're not paying as much attention to it. And we're going to get into all of that in Episode 57 of the SGP podcast. We got Ryan Sangalia in the house. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. Stay with us. This episode is basically a predictions episode for Extreme Rules. Now, I'm going to run down the card. We're going to talk about the matches one by one, and we'll give you our predictions and tell you why we think that way, and probably somewhere along the line, if any of the players are involved in any interesting angles, either outside the WWE or inside the WWE, we can talk about that. So let's start off with the tag team match on the pre-show. You got Tyson Kidd and Cesaro versus The New Day for the tag team championship.
Well, the way that this match was set up after last Monday's Raw was actually pretty good. Compelling.
It was good.
Xavier,
everyone was expecting the Lucha Dragons to come out and, you know, be hot-shotted for the position, but I think having the New Day go over, especially with the way they cheated to
with Xavier Woods of all people being the instigator.
Xavier Woods, I know.
You
didn't expect him to be blatantly cheating like that.
Then again, you know, Kofi was showing flashes of it. Remember when Xavier and Biggie had that match?
And then this week they went kind of full heel.
I guess that's the direction where they were going to go.
Yeah, you know, actually I like that idea because, you know, when they came out, there was, you know, the climate in America was bad, and you couldn't just have them go out full heel. And right. That would have been a great way to really get them over, because we've seen them all kind of do, like, silly stuff. But where they could be very serious would be as these brutal kind of heels. This
racially heel charged heels.
Yeah, you know, but, like, suggesting it only. Not
outrightly.
Not so being, like, passive-aggressive.
Yes, exactly.
Not NWA aggressive.
Yeah, like, you know, keep it out of, like, the Nation of Domination angle.
Can't have AKs.
But I think that what they're doing now, I think that, you know, like we're talking off air, they're slow burning it. I think we're going to see a full-on turn here. I want to see, like, their... become some kind of sense to this, because it has been a nonsensical. It just seemed to be like a bunch of African American guys who like to get together and dance and like do high flyer stunts. Let's see, why are they together? Let's find out. Let's find out that it's something more than them just looking the same or looking alike.
And I'm glad that the heel turn has nothing to do with race or the color of your skin.
But yeah, so am I.
Yeah,
it's happened so often. Being oppressed. That was the original. It was implied to be the original direction of the proto New Day, and now it's more of them covering up what the dreadful face run, and the fact that they're just using that as a platform for them to go heel instead of, you know, we're black and we're being oppressed. That's really good for them.
All right. That being said, who do you have winning this match? I would still call for Kid and Cesaro to win, just to, you know, piss the New Day off even more.
Yeah, I agree. But let me ask you this: Who are the faces in this matchup?
Dude, I think Kid and Cesaro are the faces.
Kid and Cesaro, double
how?
Turn.
Because...
double turn.
Yeah. Double turn. Okay.
Double turn.
I wouldn't call it double turn, but I would think that just because Kid and Cesaro are internet favorites...
By association.
Right, by association. Because people hate the New Day more, like they've got... I wouldn't say
so
X-Pac
heat. Hate less?
No, yeah, they've got Maeve heat. Exactly. Yeah, who you hate less. Exactly. They've got Maeve heat right now, so you might as well cheer.
God damn it.
Whatever. They've got Rocky heat. So they got Rocky heat, so you might as well cheer for Kid and Cesaro.
But, you know, I like that they started to acknowledge it on the air about, you know, the heat that they're getting. But this is why I think it's going to happen, just myself.
Right.
I think that we're going to see the New Day go out there, dominate with their athleticism. I think we're going to see Cesaro and Kid, you know, really work excellently. And then something's going to go wrong at the end. You know, we're going to get like a fluke win of some sort by the champions.
Right.
And then they're going to be just so frustrated, they're just going to go in there, beat the shit out of, you know, Cesaro and Kid. And then basically that's going to be their heel turn.
I wouldn't put it past them, though. I would put it past them for that to happen.
So, as in, like, hotshot them to the title?
No. They won't win.
No. They won't win. There's close to zero chance of them winning.
All right.
But I do think that if the Lucha Dragons do get involved at this point...
Deeper.
No, not yet.
It's way too early. But if they do, that means hotshot after.
All right.
But... you know.
I'm just glad we have a tag team match that isn't like a four-corner type of deal,
right,
you know?
Right.
Like, I'm glad we get to see a real
straight
tag team.
Tag team match.
Where they could just
four
work.
On four.
Yeah, they could just go out there and work, you know, or two on two.
Two on two.
They could go out
two
there.
Two on two, yeah. What the hell, bro?
Four guys in a ring is what I meant to say.
Yeah, there we got you. Like, but like,
between
I mean.
Four ropes. Between four.
But just in terms of, like, you know, getting to see them work a match as a tag team and the psychology of that, I think that I miss that. I miss seeing, you know, wrestling, you know, so that they could all go out there, get all their shit in, you know. There's going to be a lot of spots.
Yep.
Let them get their shit in.
All right.
More than that, I'm really happy that in order for them to get the title shot, they actually had to beat another team, you know, looking to get a shot instead of, you know, beating the champions and then magically there's a title shot.
Yeah, I hate that shit.
Right,
yeah,
getting an actual contendership match.
It makes me see that there's actually a division right here.
And that, and of course, that goes a long way towards reviving whatever credibility the tag championships have left.
Well, there was
no, you know, Orton's gonna RKO the shit out of that anyway.
Oh, well.
Ah, fuck.
All right, before we get to Randy Orton in the main event, let's talk about the Chicago Street fight first.
Chicago
Dean
State
Ambrose
Bulls
versus Luke Harper.
Chicago Bulls 2-0, bro.
For the dirt.
Golden State Warriors 2-0, bro.
Yeah. Fist bump.
Houston Rockets 2-0, bro.
Yeah.
The Knicks lottery pick.
Yeah. All right, Chicago Street fight. Dean Ambrose versus Luke Harper for the dirty sign of the championship.
Kailan binukin?
It was booked this week.
Kasi parang wala pang official word as of Roy.
No, it's been booked.
So it was booked online.
Like SmackDown or
no? I think SmackDown or Raw, but I've seen it on TV.
It
so
wait,
is Extreme Rules in Chicago?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, all right.
So CM Punk chants imminent.
Oh, exactly. Because then we get a Chicago Street Fight from Punk and Jericho last year.
Yes, from 3 years ago.
Yes, we do.
I mean, we're just like, it's like, all right, we're not going to talk about CM Punk. We're going to take the high road. But if there's a way to, like, kind of make a veiled jab at the guy, you know.
This is how we do it.
Yeah. Watch, they're going to come out there wearing the same jeans that these motherfuckers wore last time.
No, funny that they should do it with two guys who are a huge Indian internet favorites. You got Dean Ambrose and Luke Harper, both of them CZW alumni. So you know, they've got chemistry. We've seen this match on TV before, but they're taking it to another level, supposedly, by putting in this stipulation.
I love this feud. I love it because it's just two guys beating the shit out of each other,
and
because they hate each other.
They've been beating the shit out of each other since WrestleMania.
Exactly,
and it's beautiful.
Exactly, because sometimes you don't need a convoluted reason for them to fight on the pay per view.
Right, and there's actually at least another feud. Na ganun yung situation. Yeah. These are just two people who just flat out hate each other.
No, it's like from WrestleMania. Okay, this guy almost tried to end the other guy's career.
Right,
so that's a good reason for the other guy to, you know, just keep wailing on him.
And get his revenge. So,
well, since we have two CZW alumni and it's Extreme Rules, are we going to see light tubes?
Nah.
Not on WWE TV.
A power saw, maybe? That, you know, then it's a real...
That's really extreme, yeah.
They should have made it like, oh, this is a CZW thing at Extreme Rules, and you don't know what's going to happen. But this is my problem. I hate that WWE does this shit. They give it away for free,
yeah.
And then, you know, oh, we got the count out. Well, all right, we just saw a bunch of the spots that we're going to probably see on the pay-per-view. Why am I going to buy this fight then? I wish they wouldn't have had it, like, you know, any kind of working. I wish they would have just maybe teased it a bit and then or just have like a backstage thing. I thought that giving it in a match always kind of, like, you know, dilutes it a bit. Doesn't really build it up for me.
No, I agree. I totally agree. One last note on the CZW connection. It would be nice if Drake Younger gets his main roster promotion this match. Like, if we saw him as a ref.
It would be a nice touch.
Would be a nice touch.
But it will be lost on, like, the majority of the fans.
Necromaster run-in.
Ooh.
For sure. All right, that being said, predictions. It's a simple feud. I think this ends here, so I'm giving it to Ambrose.
Ambrose
needs the win.
All right.
You know, actually, this is my thing about the prediction. I think it's not just so much about whether Ambrose wins. It's about how over he gets. Because I think that he's actually competing not with Harper. I think he's competing with the Reigns match later. Like, because we're trying to get some street cred.
Right.
It's about who's going to get street cred out of these events. And since it looks like a non-bearing match,
yeah.
What I think it's going to be is about who gets the bigger pop or who gets really over. And then they're going to probably run with either one of those two guys.
We might as well talk about the next match then, because it's a last man standing match between Roman Reigns and The Big Show. Again, another feud where it's just two guys who hate each other, except this time you have that layer where Roman Reigns is now trying to prove himself.
Hmm. Well, I agree there. I really think that, I mean, Reigns is going to go over. That's not even a question.
That's not
even
a question.
You know, the big jobber, you know, as I call him. Like, you know, for me, I think it's going to be something where Roman's going to have to do something really extraordinary. Like, he has an advantage in that he's strong. I want to see, first off, if he can get him up, you know, for a power move. You know, Reigns doesn't really have a whole lot of, like power moves, like slams and stuff like that.
Yeah, he likes to fly around, yeah.
But
yeah.
I think, you know, if he really wants to get over where people believe in him, he needs to go the John Cena route. He needs to go the, you know, the Hulk Hogan route. He says, you know, pick this guy up and slam him at some point in a big spot. Then for me, I'll say, okay, this guy is good. He can go to the main event.
How about it look like he has his strength? I mean, like, you know, he's a strong guy. Everyone's a strong guy in WWE, but I don't think he's a strong man.
He looks like Tarzan and wrestles like Jane.
That's actually accurate.
That's the truth about him.
Something Bobby Heenan would say, I think.
Yeah, he's, you know, because, you know, for me, I hate it when you got a guy who's, like, supposed to be, like, this unstoppable baby face, but he really, you know, you don't believe that he's a tough guy. You don't believe that he's super strong. Like with John Cena, you remember that one where he had that really horrible entrance with, like, a bunch of Slim Shadys or whatever John Cena's?
Yeah.
And then, like, he went out there, he picked up Big Show on his shoulders and
yeah.
your Edge on his shoulder at the same time. Yeah. That was an amazing spot. That was something like that was a big WrestleMania moment. And like, all right, you know, if you want to run with this guy as your guy, at least you know he's super strong. With Reigns, if you're going to give him that John Cena, Hulk Hogan spot, he better be able to do Hulk Hogan, John Cena shit.
That's true. You know what? I think as much as I'd like to see that happen at Extreme Rules, I think what's likelier to happen is a spot where he just flies. Like he takes his whole high-flying shit to another level.
That's what he likes to do. He likes to fly around.
Like some spot over a ladder, or like he jumps and then he lands on Big Show on the announce table or some
shit. That's why I said that he's not a strong man, because he doesn't do any, you know, power moves.
And yeah, he's more known for flying around.
Out of this guy.
No, we have, dude. What are you talking
about?
We're
two other guys. Yeah. Come on. He had to have...
Well, that's only because he was like the biggest out of the three guys.
Actually, it would look weird if he had Ambrose in the middle.
He doesn't do it solo. He doesn't do the power.
Yeah, he never did these. That's what I'm about to say. Triple headed power.
Yeah, that was the illusion because he was the biggest out of the three guys. Even though he's
can
like,
can we get a gorilla press out of him? Like even against a jobber or some shit.
No, we never have.
We've never. That's why.
It's to be fair, it's not like Roman Reigns has ever had a squash match. Like against a jobber, like someone like Heath Slater or a Bo. Well, that was a punch.
Like he couldn't build that up by like fucking picking, you know, Bo up and chucking him out the ring. You know what the hell?
It's like actually now that I come to think about it, Roman Reigns isn't as strong as we think he is.
Roman Reigns wrestles. I'm sorry to say it, he wrestles kind of like a pussy. You know, real talk.
And that's why he can't look strong.
Next match.
All right, next match. Another match between two guys who just flat out dislike each other. Dolph Ziggler and Sheamus in a Kiss Me Arse match. That's seriously what they're calling it, a Kiss Me Arse match.
So it's a normal match. It's a normal match.
Yeah, it's a singles match. The
stipulation is that whoever loses has to kiss
the winner's ass.
Yeah.
Is that extreme?
Why is Mr. McMahon not involved in this?
I have no idea.
Now, what I think makes it puts this over is that how white Sheamus' ass is. you know what I mean? It's like, because, all right, you know his skin, the stuff that's actually exposed to the sun is really white.
Yeah,
what about the shit that's all covered up? Just it must be like...
Transparent.
You may just, like, get blinded off of that, you know?
And this is why I think Sheamus might actually lose, because it's okay to moon him, because you won't see shit.
Yeah, well, exactly. But I think it's also... No, he's going to be... If he wins, you know, he's going to be showing...
All right, hold on.
So, I mean, that could be like a WrestleMania moment right there. We get to see like the whitest ass in the world.
This might be the hardest match to predict in the card.
God, honestly, I think Ziggler needs the win.
Yeah. But he's
needed every win, but he's never gotten him.
He's expendable in their eyes.
They just repackaged Sheamus. Like, you can't build him up as a super heel right now and then have him lose his first match back.
I think no asses are going to get kissed.
I think we're going to see Dolph Ziggler, you know, the internet wrestling community's baby face. He's going to be doing some analingus on Sunday.
Yeah, I think Sheamus wins. I mean, you can't repackage him.
I don't know. Yeah, I think Sheamus wins as well.
And we're going to see his ass.
My fantasy points want Sheamus to win, but nah.
And this is why fantasy fucks up your fandom.
No, without even, you know, considering fantasy, I think Sheamus is going to win. It's just 2-0.
I want Ziggler.
I think Sheamus is going to win, but I don't think any asses are going to get kissed.
That's why not?
I don't know. There's something about it. I don't know what the swerve is. I just feel like it feels not
fishy.
Happen.
It feels fishy.
Well, maybe this could be the swerve. Is that he? You know, since it's a PG company, he doesn't like show his ass. He just pulls it up in a wedgie.
That's just as bad, bro.
Did I put that in your mind there, huh?
You did.
Cannot unsee that shit.
Damn it, Ryan.
Let's talk about something more pleasant then, and talk about Divas. Divas.
Yeah.
Divas Championship match. Yeah, they're getting a chance. Naomi's getting her chance.
Here's the question again: who is the face?
Oh,
I think Nikki's the face. After the thing she's been saying on commentary this Raw. She was saying things that a face
facey
would say.
Things.
Oh, facey things.
Then again, you can't blame Naomi from where she's coming from because the thing she's sort of saying, parang, this is my opportunity, is also babyface-like.
No,
in a way.
But the way she says it. Yeah.
The way she said it was the way she delivered it was very, I'm tired of waiting. I want my opportunity now.
That's a heelish thing to do
in the context that she's in.
It's heelish because she beat Paige up.
Yeah, that's why.
But if she didn't, rhetoric would be babyface.
She's just bitching and whining. That's it.
I mean, she earned it.
She earned it.
Not really over tweeners. There we go. Boom.
That's true.
That's actually quite true.
Correct analysis.
Yeah, in this situation, yeah. So Nikki Bella and Naomi, I'm kind of sad we're not seeing Paige, obviously, but we know that she's filming that movie, I think Santa's Bounty Helper or something.
Whatever.
Yeah.
What? Really?
Yeah, she's filming a movie. Really, that's the reason why they took her out. She's going to be out for the next 4 weeks, kind of like, you know, when Lana disappeared and when Summer Rae and Miz disappeared. So that's the reason why this shit is going down. All that being said, I don't think Naomi's going to win the championship.
Me too.
No way.
Yeah, like, I don't see a universe where Naomi wins the strap.
Not yet. Not here, not on Extreme Rules.
Yeah. I mean, if she was built to be a credible champion, put on a change her fucking finisher. Like, I think
she debuted a new one?
No. She used the rear view on Breeze. And this really pisses me off. Like, I've been talking about this online for quite a few weeks now. Now, I don't understand how her tush is supposed to knock you out.
Oh, you'd be surprised.
I mean, if it was a guy, you know, maybe like, hey, look at my ass, and a guy just falls down. But I don't think it's gonna work on Nikki. I don't think she's gonna get.
No. Okay, I'm gonna explain it in kayfabe terms, kayfabe logic.
Sure.
Assume that. Oh, the ass is the biggest muscle. What the hell is that?
I love that we're having this conversation about ass muscles.
The ass is the biggest muscle in your body.
Is it?
Right.
And
that's why they call it the gluteus maximus.
Piece. I thought it was the tongue.
No. It's
that. But it's also, I assume that Naomi's ass is firm because she's a wrestler and she works out.
Yeah.
And then imagine that coming at you with like 50 miles an hour.
All right.
On your face.
I would still find it heavenly. You get what I mean?
You would find it heavenly, but it would also be really strong and fast coming at your face.
But some people are into that.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
The thing about the rear view is, if it was done by, say, Big Vis or Rikishi, it would knock me out.
Yeah, I think you're misunderstanding how big her ass is, bro.
Yeah.
Like, you're not really, like, taking into account.
You know, it's so you think it looks soft because it's nice, but
you just haven't felt it.
No, we don't see that kind of ass here. No, he's right.
You can't actually understand her ass because there's nothing like that here.
That's true.
No, that is true.
So, you know,
that is very true.
African-American ass is something that we do not understand. Ryan... I don't know at what point in your life. I had some black girlfriends in the States.
I know that's a deadly move right there.
All right, okay. I'll take your word for it now. Now I'm convinced. Now I'm convinced because I've got somebody who knows black ass.
Yes, that's one thing I know is black ass.
Right.
No, but anyways, any part of your body coming at you to your face
at 50 miles an hour,
it's gonna hurt.
In kayfabe.
And we learned that from X-Pac.
Yeah, that's true.
His move was the teabag. Yeah.
Hey, he tore an asshole doing that.
He tore a sphincter.
So now we know that it's actually a dangerous move. So,
for him.
You know, for him. And also, you remember this? Rey Mysterio, he hurt Undertaker with a teabag. Broke Taker's face.
I remember this,
Yokozuna
too.
Yokozuna couldn't hurt him. So he's got you know, balls of steel.
All right, before we wrap up the Divas discussion, of course, let me remind you, the Total Divas, the season finale is actually taking place this week on E! Philippines. I hear they're giving away gift packs that involve a Divas championship.
You heard?
I also hear they're giving away more stuff next month. When I hear new things, I'll let you know. So
You wouldn't have heard anything about, you know, E! Philippines asking for photos of the posters.
You know, they got to do their documentation, man. I mean, if they were part of the event, they were part of the event. But Total Divas, man, Wednesdays, 10 p.m., back-to-back. Shout-out to E, you know, for always giving stuff to give away.
And my own storyline heading into the season finale.
I think this is the part where Daniel Bryan proposes to Brie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is the episode where Nikki says to John that she wants her eggs frozen?
No, it's not, but it's the one where John and Nikki, their relationship is in trouble.
Oh.
Jesus Christ, this is wrestling? Oh, my God. No wonder I stopped watching for 10 years.
One side of it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, anyway, enough of the Total Diva stuff.
I just got dizzy listening to that.
All right, next match. We have a United States Championship match, which will be fought over in a Russian chain match. What the fuck is a Russian chain?
He explained it on Raw.
It is the chain version of the Texas Bull Rope match from Great American Bash 2005.
Right, thank you.
2004.
Yeah, 2004. Thank you for reminding me. So it's Cena and Rusev in a Texas Bull Rope match.
So it's like a leather strap match.
Four corners.
Four corners. Jesus Christ. Lights need to go up. But instead of a bull rope... It's a Russian chain.
What makes this chain Russian? That's what I want to know. Is it? Does it have communist beliefs?
Maybe, maybe it's red.
Is it what pulled fucking Putin's car out of the snow?
Maybe there's a sickle and hammer on both ends.
You know what? See that. Boom.
That would make sense.
Why are you not booking Raw, bro? Come on. No, this is my issue with this. All right, this match would be really awesome if they just replaced both guys with Sting and. Ric Flair and Vader, because then, you know, they did a great match with this. Only other match I saw that was kind of good with this, I know that they buried JTG, the Crime Time match. But I thought that was okay. And also, early in, like, Stone Cold's run, he had a match with Savio Vega that was pretty cool. But otherwise, it's, like, one of the most boring matches. And if you saw on Raw when Rusev attacks with the chain, he doesn't actually choke the guy. The best part of this kind of match is choking with the implement that, thanks, the implement that you have. So when you put it on his face, it's like, all right, you took away the best part of it because they don't want to get fired like Dana Bryan did.
that is the camel clutch rule. You don't really choke the guy. You just pull his, you just crank his neck back.
Right. No, you crank his nose, and then the guy, like John Cena was like wheezing. He didn't even go around your throat, man. He just like, you know, pulled your nose back a little bit, bro. It was nothing.
Yeah, that's what you do in a camel clutch. You crank the neck back by grabbing him and through the chin, by locking the chin.
Oh, this match is gonna suck.
No, I think this match has potential.
I agree that it's not Eddie and JBL. You know, Eddie was so good that he was able to, you know, make a lot of drama about a match where you have to touch corners.
You know what made that match extra dramatic for me? The color.
Oh yeah, of course.
Yeah, like the blood at the time was like as
that
a
was
kid.
Nasty.
Yeah,
was
it was nasty.
Like, it sold the fact that they were fucking around with the cowbell.
Yeah, all three of us were teenagers at the time, so remember the cowbell being used as a weapon. You're like, what the fuck, right? I think that was one of my first big matches where, you know, there was actual blood.
That's actually one of the reasons that as a drummer in high school I added a cowbell. Because of that match.
Because you need more cowbell.
You always need more cowbell, but then that match made me buy one.
Man, now you remind me of Corporate Jericho.
It wasn't Blue Oyster Cult, you know, or in Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, I know.
You know what? I want to say, though, that, you know, to reference that, this is a match, you know, not to be too puntastic, that needs more cowbell.
That's true. It inspired you to bleed on the drums.
No,
a la Miles Teller.
Yeah.
Hasn't happened yet. Next right. match.
Oh, yeah, no, wait. We haven't done predictions yet.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wait, Chip. We haven't called this one yet. Okay.
Right.
I want Rusev to win.
I want Rusev to win,
but I don't mean you're going to win.
I want Rusev to win, too. So I think Cena's taking this.
Nah.
I just like to point out, I don't know if you noticed, but Cena's growing his hair again.
Yes.
He's growing, I did. He's growing that old U.S. Championship hair.
Oh, wow.
And now, if he doesn't come out with his old chain and lock and padlock,
that'll be disappointing.
I will be so disappointed,
dude. Balik ng chain gang gimmick. It might just come back.
I don't mind. Bring back B squared.
Hey,
wherever Bull Buchanan is right now.
Right. All right. So all of us are calling Cena.
Yeah.
Prediction?
Yeah.
Officially?
Yeah.
All right.
I guess.
Okay.
You can't make a t-shirt without, you know, booking it for a month only, right?
Yeah.
He has to keep this for at least 3 months.
That sucks.
They need t-shirt sales.
All right. All right. Before the main event, you got a singles match. The only singles match without any real stipulation other than the implication that you'll win the Intercontinental Championship. And this match hasn't really been getting a lot of build-up. It's Brian versus BNB.
To begin with.
That's the question.
That's the sad fact. I mean, we found out...
There have been conflicting reports from the European tour either Brian is injured or not injured. The latest news I've seen, the latest update, is that he is injured, actually. He was injured in a tag match, I think, at the April 9th show. I think it was in Germany or some other Western Central European place where...
Western Central?
Where teenagers get kidnapped and forced into sex trade.
Well, yeah, it's a sad fact that the Intercontinental Championship might not be defended and Daniel Bryan might be out for an extended period of time. But as of Raw, they're still advertising this match.
Tournament.
You know what?
Can't go wrong.
But this is my thing with it, is that first off... The reports that I was hearing, I was reading the same thing about you, that you were reading about. He wasn't bumping in Euro.
Yeah.
So then it's like, it reminds me a little bit of like the end of Arn Anderson's
career.
Because remember Arn Anderson at the end, you know, he was in matches where he wouldn't bump, and then he just said,
well, he was so broken down.
Yeah, he said, my neck's fucked. Now, if you have a concussion, because I understand he was working, but he wasn't bumping.
Right.
To me, that told me that maybe it wasn't concussions, like they're saying, that it could be just his neck, you know, because that's the history that I remember about with Arn Anderson. So I hate to think that that's the issue, but and maybe they're just calling it a concussion because maybe there's less heat than having a guy go out there with a broken neck. But and also because you could get more like sympathy. I'm just fantasy booking in my mind. You get more sympathy saying, oh, yeah, I just had a concussion. But people are going to say, well, I don't want to watch wrestling if Daniel Bryan's out working, you know. Maybe that's an issue.
So, Banyo, I mean, you know, all of that being said, how do you move forward with a situation like this where your Intercontinental Champion is injured again?
You give it to someone else. That's pretty much it.
You do a tournament, determine a number.
Put it over, yeah. There are a lot of people to put this thing over.
Yeah, I mean,
there's never a drought.
Right, but what about Daniel Bryan? How do you save the Daniel Bryan character?
Hmm? Or how R-Truth goes out there, beats him in 8 seconds in the garden like Kevin Nash won the title. Boom! I just made you $1 million. No, but honestly, this is the thing. I understand it was a great WrestleMania moment having Daniel Bryan go out there and become a Triple Crown winner or whatever.
Yeah, Grand Slam winner.
Grand Slam. Yeah, there you go. So, but I think that if he's not healthy, and the IC belt, more so than the WWE title, is the belt that you put on the worker.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah.
That's not, you know, Lex Luger go out there and hit some forearms.
Yeah.
That's you're the guy who's going to, even when they don't have the title on stake,
right,
you're always going to have the IC belt. And if Daniel Bryan can't work that schedule, I hate to say it, he shouldn't have the belt. I think that maybe they could give him some time off if he's really badly hurt. I'm hoping. It sounds like a shitty thing to say. I hope it was a concussion just because he can come back from that.
That's right.
If it's his neck, this close, you know, we're looking at Derrick Rose type of deals. You know what I'm saying?
And we've been saying that
we have to bump
him
back down to D Rose.
I know. And thanks for bringing up Derrick Rose. Because the problem with Derrick Rose is he always came back too soon.
Exactly.
And Kevin Durant, we saw that this season as well. He also came back too soon. Like, he could have benefited for an extra 2 weeks or an extra 2 months.
Especially they didn't make the playoffs.
Oh.
Right. The question about Daniel Bryan is, you 9 months now. Wasn't that enough already?
No. That's because he didn't get surgery.
He delayed the surgery. They opted not to go with it.
He opted to not go with the surgery because he thought that the risks were too big if he did get surgery.
And yet, look what happened.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing.
But we don't. This is the thing. We don't have full information
yet.
That's
right.
And until we do, we can't make that.
How shitty would it be? Is that, like, you know, he had that speech where he's like, "Am I going to retire? No."
And then he has to.
Oh, you know, I didn't realize it. I'm gonna have to do this shit all over again. You know, tease it on Twitter and fuck with your emotions. But yes.
For what it's worth, I don't know what's really happening with him, but for what it's worth, I think it's not career threatening just yet.
Not yet.
He needs to rest up as properly as he can. You know,
get surgery
if he needs to. But if he doesn't need to, then rest for far longer than that.
For real,
I expect this is my thing. I expected him to change up his moveset.
That's right.
He does it. He goes out there and just fucking like, you know, hurts himself again. It seems.
I love him, but I have to say, I have to blame him for some of this. It's about, okay, you already know this was killing you, and then you go back out there and do the same shit.
You didn't see like you don't see Stone Cold after being dropped on his neck going out there and doing stunning Steve Austin shit, you know.
Yeah.
You know, doing body splash off the top turnbuckle. He knew he couldn't work like that. You know, his thing was go out there, wrestle
whoop
his
the
match.
Guy's ass.
Like, aren't there other Japanese guys that Daniel Bryan could take his offense from? Like, you know, does he have to do all the Chris Benoit shit?
No, that's why. He took everything from Kent already.
Well, yeah. Can he go out there? There's got to be some other Japanese guys that have some cool shit that won't break his neck.
Tanahashi has some good shit that won't break his
Nakamura.
Neck.
Nakamura.
Yeah, those guys aren't high flyers.
No, actually, you know.
Tanahashi's
a high flyer. But the thing is, if he makes it to the Japanese tour, if he makes it to the Japanese tour and then he pulls all of the Nakamura shit out during a show,
you know what?
I would love it. What?
What about cattle mutilation? Can he bring that back?
He can.
It's a. You know what?
He should.
But it's an ugly submission.
I love it. Come on.
No. Think of it this way.
It doesn't look good on WWE TV.
You won't break your neck doing it.
And it's so easy to get out of. You just have to roll the other way.
Exactly.
Come on, K-Fan.
No, but he made it look good.
Yeah, it's easy to get out of a lot of submission moves.
I was about to say the comments. You know what's the best way to fix this?
What?
We have Brian versus Nakamura.
No, but that's the thing. It's not going to happen. I know that's not going to happen.
I know.
We can fantasy book as much as we want. We can post the poster again.
So are you telling me we're going to do like when 1978 when they had Ric Flair versus the Ninja Boy Buddy Rogers?
Oh.
And then basically just stole his whole gimmick, you know, with the win?
Oh, that's Kenta. Kenta and Brian. But
and they've fought before.
Yeah, that's right.
But not sobrang laking magnitude. Right.
No, but the ROH match was pretty good. ROH match, the ROH match between those two, very good.
All right.
How many flying double stomps were there in that match?
Will the match even happen? I think that's the first yes or no question we have to answer. And second, if the match does happen, is it a foregone conclusion that BNB wins it back?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Given whatever Brian's status is, whether it's bad or worse, they know they have to rest him up, so the championship has to go to someone else who could go out there and defend it. BNB might not be the best choice since he's also Mr. Glass, but he's a better choice right now.
But, like, I mean, for me, I think that they should use this as an opportunity. Hello, they have Dolph Ziggler
on
their roster. Like, yeah, he gets hurt, but, you know, they don't care. They let him go out there and wrestle with a concussion. So, like, what the hell, man? You know he's going to work. He's not going to take any days off.
Yeah, Ziggler's your guy. I mean, if you need a workhorse to be your Intercontinental Champion, Dolph Ziggler is your guy.
And you got the built-in feud with Sheamus. That's already a good series right there in the making.
And he's showing that he's a company guy by he's going to kiss Sheamus' white ass.
Mm-hmm. That's actually quite right.
All right, now that we're done with the Intercontinental title, let's move on to the main event, steel cage match for the WWE World Heavyweight title. RKO is banned. Kane is the cage's gatekeeper.
No, Guardian of the Gate.
Sorry, the Guardian of the Gate. Thank you.
It sounds so campy, though.
It is very campy.
The Authority is a campy stable to begin with.
That's true.
Right? So, of course, the storyline that hasn't been mentioned just yet is the fact that the curb stomp is no longer allowed in the WWE.
No longer allowed.
It's just, he won't be doing it.
It's like the punt, I think.
It's actually like the punt that they said that this, like, in relation to all of the concussion things that have been going on, they're not going to encourage it. I think this is mostly for the kids.
Stupid kids. Sure. Yeah. You know, don't try this at home, Mark.
Don't try this at... Yeah,
those guys.
How
many times did they say ass on Raw, though? How
many times did they say bitch on Raw this week,
though? Yeah, you know what I think about all the cussing or the pseudo-cussing on Raw is that kids these days are likely to know more cusses than we did, and then what the WWE could teach them.
Okay.
No, but we had South Park, so that kind of raised
the bar. Yeah, that fucked up.
I blame Kenny.
They were talking about Hmong and stuff like that. You know, come on.
Hey, Chef.
Bang, bang, you in my life.
And they still have South Park now.
Yeah. No, but South Park's full digital now. Like they can just you can watch any episode of South Park.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm saying
customers are so accessible.
Is not the worst product out there to be.
And
imitating.
Neither is South Park.
But that's how you know when somebody's getting a push. You don't have to watch their matches. Listen to their promos. If they're allowed to say ass or bitch,
that's true.
That means they're getting a push.
That's a very good point.
You know. True. So
and Randy Orton got to say bitch.
Mm. Yeah. So that means.
So does that mean he has a push? Yes.
That means he's still top guy in the company. For me, it meant more that Ryback said ass. Because, like, oh shit, now this guy, they're running with Ryback now, you know? But no, just about this thing, there are so many stipulations and everything like that are said, implied. You know, of course, they're banning the RKO. But for me, you know, when you go out there and you take away Seth Rollins' finisher, the move that really, that was a super over move.
Yeah, it was.
And now you're going to basically say, all right, you can't do the thing that was like your biggest thing, and we're going to make, the move that he comes up with is a fake Dean Ambrose finisher.
Yeah, it's a DDT with a front bump.
Oh, we have to address this because we have a friend who actually uses this as a finisher.
Yeah, his name is Mayhem Brannigan.
Nothing against Mayhem. Shit. Yeah, no. Nothing against
Give
Mayhem.
Give me encouragement.
Gimmick infringement.
Can you tell Seth Rollins to stop going out there and stealing PWR shit?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hey, he hasn't stolen any Ken Warren shit, so we have that.
Well, I'm not going to go. That means I don't have to go out there and stalk him.
Hideo
and like,
Itami stole Chris Panzer's finisher, man.
That's true.
What a dick that is.
Anyway, nothing against our friend Mayhem Brannigan, but when you compare, you know, Seth Rollins to Mayhem Brannigan, Seth Rollins has been doing this for far longer and is, you know, much better than any of us in the PWR.
But not that move.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Not that move, because we know he is capable of doing something better, something flashier, something that looks more...
Phoenix fucking splash!
That's a face move, man.
Yeah, you can't get that over as the chicken shit heel.
Yeah.
So but it looks amazing.
There's got to be something else that is, you know, that comes across better.
What if you move that he... What if the snap falling face buster is just a filler move?
I hope that's just him, you know, fucking around trying new moves.
If he brings back Avada Kedavra... I'd like that.
Yeah, but you know what? Nobody gets pinned by a super kick anymore.
I know, but it's still...
Unless he can bring it back.
Shawn Michaels.
Shawn Michaels.
Can we bring back the buff blockbuster? That was an awesome move no one does anymore.
Alex Riley still uses the blockbuster.
Fuck him. No one even watches him.
Hey, I'm an Alex Riley mark.
Yeah. 2009.
You know, the thing about the Avada Kedavra is that if he uses it and Dolph still super kicks people and then not pins them for the three count...
Yeah, it devalues it.
Exactly. Unless you start telling Dolph to stop super kicking people and not winning with it.
I hope Seth debuts a new finisher entirely. Something he never used in ROH or in any of the other indies in FCW, you know? NXT.
So what would be this?
I don't know. I'm going to leave it up to him. He's an innovator. He's very excellent technically, so he might as well just come up with something new.
I got a question for you guys now. Because, like, for me... I don't see the curb stomp being any more dangerous than any other move.
No, I agree.
It's not. It's not.
Why are they banning
this? I've taken curb stomps in training, and it's not that bad.
Like, you know, I mean, did someone get hurt that we don't know about?
No,
like,
it's just there's the concussion issue is a big deal now.
But why take away that move from your champion?
Because that's the most...
My issue is, okay, if we're banning this for concussion reasons, why don't we ban the other guy who actually caused the concussion because he works too snug? Why don't we ban
the drop kick? It just killed the guy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, to me, that's
circumstances notwithstanding, he
killed
did
the
kill
drop
guy.
Kick, man. You know, I mean, that's a dangerous move right there.
It's funny you should ask that question, because before you guys came in, Ryan and I were talking about this, like, why ban the curb stomp specifically? And he brought up a very good point that neither of you may have considered right
sure.
now.
Actually, this is why he's the babyface. He's going into there with more of a disadvantage, because you remember, like, his whole gimmick was that he had baby oil all over himself, and they banned baby oil, so they took away his finisher and baby oil. So it's like, all right, what is he going to do to get over now? You know, he's at a great disadvantage. Yeah, what's going to happen next? He can't go on the ropes like, you know, the girl was just doing right here? Like, oh, no, you can't, you know, show everyone, you know, your little
how sexy
bag,
you are, yeah.
You know, in your little baby trunks, you know?
No, what Ryan brought up earlier is the racial angle to the curb stomp.
Yes. It's an actual, you know, because for me, when I think about a curb stomp, yep. I think American History X, you know.
Yep.
I've only seen it, like, you know, used by, like, Nazis, you know? So it's like, all right. No, not that I hang out a whole lot of Nazis and nothing like that. You know?
We hung out with a Nazi last Sunday.
Yeah. We just, you know, we brought all the Nazis out, you know, in Manila. But no, for sure, it's like maybe they could bring it back as a different name, you know, like... the step on your head driver.
I don't think the racial angle is in vogue right now. That's why they've been using it since, you know, the days of Paul Burchill. But still,
was
yeah.
Was he a Nazi?
No, he was English, though.
He was English.
Yeah,
he
could be.
He was white.
He might have been a sympathizer.
They got a lot of neo-Nazis out there.
Sure.
London.
Shit.
Maybe.
Skinheads.
All right, before we get to the official prediction, what's the over-under on RKO teases?
A lot. You know, like no. Five.
Because you know, like, I was thinking between, like... like 2 and 3, I think that's
six.
A safe number.
I would rather see a curb stomp tease, like Orton is down, and then this guy puts his head on the foot on the back of his head and looks down to the crowd, says, "Yeah, they're trying to bury me," you know. But I'm just gonna actually turn it into, like, you know, a Hurricane Rana or some shit, you know. For me, I think that you're taking the guy's shit away, man. Let him go out there and tease it. Let him get over.
True.
All right, I think Seth still wins this. I mean, like,
oh yeah, disqualification.
How can you get a DQ in a steel cage? You can't.
Why are you banning the RKO then? Like, what happens? What is the penalty if he hits the RKO?
DQ.
I have no idea.
That should be a DQ.
How bullshit is that? You have a DQ on Extreme Rules and a steel cage match.
Right, that's true.
What the fuck, man?
Maximum heat.
Maximum heat. That's right.
Heat against the company.
Oh, I know. No, that's a very good point. Yeah.
That's pretty much it, yeah.
Have you ever seen, was there ever a time, I mean, obviously, you know, Austin era, whatever, but did you have the freaking company as the heel? You know? Like, we gotta go out there, we gotta root for our guys, and then boo the company, man. What is this shit?
Vince with...
Yeah, it's a throwback. It's a throwback to the Attitude Era. Yeah.
Only the thing is, it's not they're not getting like the cool like heat. I gotta watch your shit. He's like, oh man, look how they're gonna fuck the fans this week.
Heat. Oh, that kind of heat. Oh, that's fairly recent. I blame the internet.
All right. So are we good? Are we good with predictions?
Yeah, Rollins wins. No way he loses the championship to Orton right now.
Not this soon.
I like the DQ angle.
Will this
like
be
that.
The first DQ in a cage match?
In Extreme Rules?
Hey, watch. But you can't throw the guy into the cage. That's dangerous. That's metal. you can't use the cage.
All right.
Like, what? You got a cage match. You're not going to slam the guy's fucking head on the cage.
Right? Well, he's going to get a concussion or he's going to bleed.
You can't jump off the cage, I bet, either. You know, because Daniel Bryan's neck's hanging on a string.
If Seth Rollins pulls a Phoenix Splash from the top of the cage,
he's not gonna do that.
I'm just saying. I'm fantasy booking right now. If he does, dude, I'm gonna fucking mark out.
Dude, your fantasy is on the top of another fantasy.
Yes,
you're on another.
He lives in a fantasy world.
Yeah.
I have my own little psychotic.
All right, that brings us to the close of episode 57 of the SGP podcast. Are we still doing picks of the week?
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are.
All right, let's do this. Pick of the week. If you're new to this segment, it's when we tell you the most must-see match, segment, promo, podcast, interview, or whatever from wrestling this week. So I'll start off. Fuck you, Kamus. Picking your boy Sami Zayn and Rhino in NXT. That main event was actually pretty good. It was a very, very solid match between Zayn and Rhino, NXT number one contender for the NXT championship. Implications were in that match, and yeah, I mean, I got spoiled. Rhino number one contender. But what the fuck did Rhino win?
Right. If I was to tell any of you guys 6 months ago that Rhino would be back in WWE and he would be challenging for a spot at the NXT championship, would you have believed me?
I would have laughed at your ass. Exactly. But this is actually happening. It was a great
six
match.
6 months ago, Rhino was in TNA.
That's right. And now he's on NXT.
6 months ago, Rhino was the butt of many jokes. Right now, Rhino is the most over. Yeah, he does look good. He looks like a fucking beast.
As usual. He doesn't need to be ripped or shit.
But this is the thing. That match in itself, and fuck you for taking it for pick of the week.
Dude, you could have taken Ryder versus Slater from Superstars. It was a great match, too.
Hey, he hasn't watched Superstars. He's not me.
You're upsetting. You have to be that supermarket.
The thing is, Sami Zayn just put on one of the best matches of the year on NXT
against Rhino.
Of all the fucking people in the world, Rhino.
This was a guy who was putting over EC3 6 months ago.
Can I just say this about NXT? I think they wrestle great matches,
right?
But I hate the crowds. And okay. I'll tell you why.
Why?
All right. Before the shows even start, you got people saying, "We're not worthy," and stuff like that, you know, and marking out. They haven't even done anything. And it's like, all right, no wonder these guys, a lot of them, they come to the main roster and they don't get over because they didn't have to work hard to get a crowd reaction. And, you know, for me, they're not prepared to go from town to town and not wrestle in front of their cousins who are going to, like, you know, get them over on TV. So I think it actually hurts them.
No, I agree. It's a whole different beast, wrestling in Full Sail. And, you know,
wrestling out of the live arena.
That's why NXT is touring now. So they can test out the waters and, you know, wrestle in front of crowds that aren't home.
And not even in Florida anymore.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
That's the point.
Like Ohio and San Jose that they just did. But to Ryan's point, look at Kalisto. Look how over he's gotten in the past.
That's because everyone loves flippy shit. That's true.
No, but I'm just saying. He's one of the guys.
He has a point.
No,
he has a point. That's why Christian is not wrestling anymore. That's why Brian is having his problems.
That's why Rey Mysterio is broken down.
He's retired, and one bump can kill him.
Oh, man, that's some heat right there, man.
No, but it's true.
It's true.
Have him come back as a referee, and then, like, you know, he's
who's side him.
Yeah,
No. This is why
a bump.
This is why Seth Rollins was the top heel in the game at the end of 2014 with that segment where he threatened to kill Edge.
They probably punished him for that or some shit.
That was glorious. Took away
his Edge move. Signed off on that, yeah.
Took away his move.
All right, Kamas, pick of the week. Wala talaga.
You got nothing? What about Seth? What about Seth and Dolph?
Yeah, Seth and Dolph was a great match, too.
We're editing this out, though. Yeah. Just it straight up.
Seth and Dolph was great.
Cool. Yeah.
No, I can do Seth and Dolph. My pick of the week... Wait, one, two... My pick of the week is Seth Rollins versus Dolph Ziggler from the main event of Raw. I did enjoy the match. I mean, Dolph Ziggler, this was a match that we were supposed to get a week ago, but Dolph Ziggler...
No, that was weird.
That was a weird setup, but then we were supposed to get it last week, we're getting it this week. I really enjoyed Dolph Ziggler's work. I mean, God honest truth, he's trying. Even though the situation is shitty, even though,
That's always been Dolph's game plan.
But it's just... He works too well. After this match, I think he's at least in line for an Intercontinental
Dolph
match.
Is more corporate than Jericho.
Actually, that's true.
Yeah, now that point, I think about it.
At this point, like, he's company man through and through, and he's doing his job, but somebody give Dolph a title shot.
The second time I saw Seth do the rock and roll... It must have been the ball. At first, I thought it was sloppy. Then, okay, not bad.
But it's not bad. It's not Mayhem Brannigan level.
Yeah, I'm just saying it's Seth, as a more experienced wrestler, he can, come up with something better.
Let me tell you why I like that match, though. Because Dolph Ziggler did something that was so subtle, a lot of people didn't realize it, but it means so much to a wrestling match. And a lot of people, it's almost a lost art. Seth, No, I'm sorry. Was it Seth?
Oh, yeah. Seth Rollins.
No. I'm trying to think. Maybe actually it was Dolph who kicked out at 2 9/10, and that just made it so much more dramatic, that match, which we knew what was going to happen. We knew the champ was going to go over, but it was like, there's no way Dolph can win the title, but he
sells it like he could.
Exactly. Like, you suspended that disbelief, a bit, where you said, well, I know what the logical thing is, but you felt for that,
half second.
Not even less than a half second. That this something weird could happen. So I like that. But, I mean, for me, what I thought was something memorable from Raw was... We got to see who did Curtis Axel wrestle again?
Fandango.
Exactly. They should run with that as the WWE comedy title, because they have this roster of these, comedy jobbers who go out there and
a comedy division.
Exactly. Actually. You could go out there. You could have, Bo Dallas and shit.
Slater.
Torito. Yeah, exactly. That's a division
No, the Hardcore Championship was the old comedy division.
Well, yeah, exactly. I'm thinking something like that, maybe they could smash up the IC belt that Cody Rhodes retired a couple of years ago.
Wait, I just have a point on Fandango's match. Did anybody else catch
they botched his entrance music?
No.
That was so easy.
That was so hilarious.
Yeah, somebody was going to get screamed at. Somebody, for sure.
At the end of the match, they played his Spanish theme music.
Flamenco.
And then midway through the intro, right as it's about to cut down into the Fandango part.
Yeah, we saw it.
It's like, oh, it's the real music? And there's a fan right behind him with this hilarious sign that "Dance to This" in all pink. And I saw it, I was like, what the fuck?
How are we going to dance to that?
And then just people just... I lost my shit.
You gotta be Puerto Rican and Dominican to dance to that.
Anyway, my turn?
Your turn.
All right. Mine, to no surprise at all, is the New Day versus Lucha Dragons match again. I could watch these two teams go at it all day. They're that good with each other, especially now
the
New Day has turned heel.
And again, can't be taken seriously.
They're working slower, especially, Big E. I'm surprised even Kofi's working slower. And it provides a nice contrast to the fast-paced action of the Lucha Dragons.
Because now, flippy shit.
Now you don't have to try and keep up with both teams doing flippy shit.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I like that. I love the Lucha Dragons. I'm glad. I think you gotta. if there's an award for comeback wrestler of the year, you got to give it to Sin Cara.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I mean, who would have thought after how buried he's been over the years? Like,
that's right.
He came in with so much hype, and he wasn't what everyone thought he was going to be. You know,
and then they changed him up.
I mean, look at the way he's working now.
But he's not the same guy.
It's not the same guy under the mask.
Yeah.
Well, then fuck that. Then.
Wait, you didn't know?
I had no idea. I thought it was Sin Cara. He's wearing a mask, man. How the fuck am I supposed to know?
It's a different guy.
It's a bigger guy. This is the former Unico.
It's the Vato.
Yeah, Sin Cara Negro.
Well, then the former Cholo gangster.
Yes, that guy.
So fuck Sin Cara, then.
The guy who came out on a bike.
What? He's still at the company. That's what he's doing now?
Yes.
Holy shit, man.
He's a better Sin Cara.
Yeah.
He is a better Sin Cara.
Exactly.
I was watching this. I was like, wow, when did Sin Cara get good? I swear to God, I didn't know this.
I love it. Kidding me.
I love it. Because for me, I always thought, oh, that Unico, whatever the hell, was horrible because it was so racist.
Yeah, it was very racist.
And he's working with Ted DiBiase, which is a racist character himself, you know.
Yeah. White guy.
You know, and then you had him, like, basically the guy who you should be feeling bad for is the heel, and then you have the douchebag is the face, you know.
And his tag team partner was a Samoan guy pretending to be a Mexican.
But in all fairness, you go out to San Francisco, you're going to see a lot of Samoans pretending to be Mexican.
That's true.
And Filipinos pretend to be Mexican, too, so, you know.
Tongan guy.
It's actually believable.
Thank you. Tongan guy.
Brother of Tama Tonga.
Yeah, that's right.
Wow, my whole world's fucked up, man. I didn't know that.
The former Unico is actually Sin Cara now.
The better Sin Cara.
Oh, man, I don't know that.
You got to be getting a better deal because, you know, he was the original Mystico.
Yeah, actually. All right, so that brings us to the end of episode 57. Got to thank you for hanging out with us. If there's anything you agree with, disagree with, want to chat with us with, you can always hit us up on Twitter. It's @_StanC for me.
@CavemanCamus for me.
@RoseWar.
And for the show, it's @TheSGPPodcast. Of course, Ryan, your Twitter.
Hey, what's up? I'm here. @RyanSangalia. That's spelled with Angalia.
And if you want to debate boxing, then go right ahead. If you want a torching.
Yeah, he'll be in the U.S. in time for the fight on May 2.
You know me. I'm taking on all Pactard challengers. You come out there with that, you know, nonsense. I'm going to go out there and expose you, man, and get brownie points.
And we got to thank you, by the way. Thank you, Mr. Ryan Sangalia, of course, for coming over and being another 2-time guest here on the podcast. It's been a lot of fun. And we'll catch you next week as we bring you more news heading into Revolution X. Of course, we got to thank our boys and girls from PWR for making us the home of Philippine Wrestling Revolution on the internet. And if there's anything you want to know more about the podcast, do like us on Facebook. It's @TheSGPPodcast on Facebook. Of course, we've got Revolution X happening May 23. We'll see you there. That's 6 p.m. as usual.
At press MCS. Conference.
Press con.
And we got the press conference happening on May 1 at the Rumpus Room. That's at 4 p.m. onward.
At Cubao X.
Right. So hit us up at Cubao X. May 1 is Labor Day. It's a holiday. I'm going to be working the holiday, but everybody else, everyone who doesn't have work on Labor Day, show your ass up and support local wrestling.
I'm going to be there for sure.
Yeah,
show ass like Sheamus.
Yeah, Raf Gavis is hosting. Raf Gavis is hosting. He's got some special shit prepared for you.
May alcohol done, right?
I think alcohol will be served over there.
And I will not be drinking until 4 p.m.
Right.
After you finish your hosting duties.
Yeah, after you finish your duties, dude.
4 p.m.
Right.
So profesh. So profesh. All right, we got to get out of here. It's National Burger Day right now at Chili's. We're still going to make it because closing time's at 2 a.m. We're going to each have a burger.
Fuck yeah.
We're going to celebrate this shit. Thank you so much. No, it's not. No, fuck you, man. We're going to celebrate. So thank you so much. Episode 57 over. Done. Peace out. Signing off.
Peace.
Yeah. Turn on the